Greetings, citizens of Twilight. This is Kinnack, also known as Landon Winkler, coming back to you for the 7th Twilight Heroes podcast. We've got a number of questions and a contest to outline the winners of. So let's, I should have flipped a coin before I started. Let's hit the contest first real quick here. First of all, had a lot of really great entries. Thanks everyone who participated. I have gone through and added a few of the entries to the game and will be sending over the prizes to the folks who submitted them. For the official announcement, we have Sladar with the Bard Bard. A lot of good barring and disbarring and so forth in that one. We have Mana Yaknichu with the Dimitrodon. I was very tempted by some of the other ones there, but I think the Dimitrodon was thin above. Sanjuro with the Burrowing Stalker. Patajones with Chuck Van Arnold and the Chemist. And the Leopard with the Overgrown Rattlesnake and the Alchemist. I might have actually forgotten to implement the Overgrown Rattlesnake. So if you're listening to this and you fight an Overgrown Rattlesnake and it's still boring, poke me. But those are the ones I certainly intended to implement. So again, thanks for everyone who participated, and congratulations, Slaughter, Mana, Sanjuro, Patajones, and the Leopard. I will be sending your prizes out once I finish recording this. First question up, we have Irfmortium. Great job on the heirloom competitions. Thanks. I really enjoyed trying to beat my fellow Herovians to the mark on each and every run. I'm really glad you're enjoying those. They are something that I thought was a pretty good idea. Put a lot of thought into it. It's nice to see it sort of unfolding the way I wanted it to in the game. Question. I love collecting merit badges, as I can tell that lots of us do. How about our hint giver being able to tell us if we've gotten closer to achieving something, or, you know, a hint such as, you know, if you explored XXX, you might find some acclaim. While exploring XXX usually is actually a good way to sink your career, at least in Hollywood, if not in the heroing realms. The XXX usually not finding a lot of big fans in the MPAA. Not a bad idea. The hint givers could probably use some coats of paint, as it were, with some, you know, post-quest stuff to do, like pointing you towards the retcon device and pointing you towards the precognitive Crime Stoppers folks and so forth, just sort of orienting you towards what to do in the long run. That said, I feel like that would probably take place as part of a larger set of fixes with that, not something that's of revamp on the scale of what we just did with the sidekick and companion stuff, which I was counting sort of what ended up happening there. That change ended up directly altering something like 20% of the main fight script, which is what runs basically everything in the game. Like, not even just the fights, also the non-combats and so forth all run through that one script. So there's a lot in there. and I ended up doing a pretty substantial chunk of coding to not just get those split out, but also get them so that it's easier to add it's much easier to add new companions now, which was half the reason we hadn't been adding a lot of new companions. It was kind of a pain. The other half being nobody used them. So I think we managed to kill two birds with one stone. Reeling back a little bit, I think the hint givers could very easily be a lot more useful. I'll have to put some thought to how to do that. But once I hit a good idea, wouldn't surprise me if that was a pretty speedy process. The heirloom rise is improving with each heirloom rise. Interesting as a concept, as it implies there is some way you are able to modify items on an individual basis. I understand we have the welding, assembling, and the high up. But what about adding some sort of craft skills to the game? I mean, yeah, those are sort of the craft skills as it goes. Items are not actually being modified individually there, though. If you have a heirloom diamond, and you have two heirloom diamonds, and you've pulled, you know, one of them four times, really that just means you've pulled heirloom diamonds on four runs, and it'll count as four for both of them. There's still no way for the game to actually tell them apart. So anything along the lines of, blacksmithing from WoW, yes. Enchanting from WoW, no. If that makes sense. If you do anything that is modifying an individual item, you're either modifying all items of that item number. Well, you are always modifying all items of that item number, which means that you can either only have one of them, or it's just, you know, kind of weird. There is some cool new stuff that I did put in code-wise to support that heirloom change, though. So there's a couple of extra functions that got written that can recalculate item bonuses on the fly, things like that. But I am basically always up for more crafting. Like, that's if you were like, Kinect, what's your favorite thing in games ever? Basically crafting. Like, I might go on about, like, you know, making important, reasonable choices and choices that show up that surprise me as a player. Like, oh, yeah, I guess I can do that. That totally makes sense, but I wouldn't have actually thought about it myself. Which, by the way, Planescape Torment is a game that everyone should still play. As far as, like, things that I will go in and just spend entirely too much time doing, crafting is definitely up there. Whether that's, you know, fishing and cooking and all of the primary craft skills in something like WoW, or whether that's, like, the entire game in Don't Starve, which I've been playing quite a bit recently, crafting is always very high on my list. It's a question, I guess, of anything that can go through existing systems really probably should. Like, you know, if you can handle it with Metal Morph, Catalyze, Welding, Assembling, great. Makes it really easy. Don't need to add a ton of extra code or whatever. But if there is other stuff that shows up, wouldn't entirely surprise me if there were further systems that got added. One thing that I will say that I prefer a lot, particularly Catalyze, is that there is actually, like, a meaningful cost associated with it, like a time cost. I think with Catalyze it's handled actually very interestingly, in that Decryption sort of does this too, although it's not usually fighting with a lot of other stuff. In that it doesn't actually interfere with your normal activities, but it's sort of churning along in the background. I don't expect to add anything along the lines of like a new classless skill that you can invest skill points in to do crafting at this point, but more crafting is always sort of somewhere on some back burner. Patagones, some questions, looks like six. As always, what have you been working on, other than the sidekick revamp we've already seen parts of? Well, the December is always a little hectic with, just arranging for, you know, Christmas gifts, trying to come up with cool talismans. If the talismans that come out this December are remotely close to my vision for the talismans, they'll be totally friggin' awesome, and at least a handful, like two or three people, will love them. Maybe everybody else will hate them, but somebody out there, somebody out there will love them if I do it right. But the, so yeah, the talismans are taking quite a bit of work. I am working on, well, I guess this is probably as, good a place of any to mention that there is probably a pretty big event coming up. I would hope towards New Year's-ish for the start of it. Not sure if I'm going to get into what it's about quite yet, let it sort of unroll on its own. But that's the other big thing that's taking a bunch of time now. So I hope that both of those will be really cool. A lot of other stuff also sort of on the back burner. A lot of just generally a lot of balls in the air, but those are the two big things. Any new zones quest planned for the near future? Not immediately, no. The Mad Scientist quest is still something that's sort of getting worked on, but the been a bit back burner now, largely just because there's an absolute ton of stuff that needs to be done, and it's sort of, if I want stuff to come out at a reasonable time, or if I want to get that done, I can only take on obviously so many big projects at a time. But yeah, that's one of those things where it's like, I need to do art for like 50-ish new enemies, and, you know, write or have Christiana write text for, like, 50 new enemies, and a bunch of items, and item descriptions, and so on and so forth. It's just such a, just this daunting, massive chunk of content, and that's probably the next major quest that'll come out. It wouldn't honestly surprise me if there was a small quest or a quest revamp that happened before that came out, because that's something that I really need to let sit for a while and then attack it again from a different angle, get it sort of divided up so that things are a little more bite-sized on my end, so it's not like just sit here for 2 weeks doing absolutely nothing else and this will get done, because that's just not a feasible model for how I work on things. The new League foe is a devil in disguise. Congrats on the design. Thank you very much. Anything being done on other League features? I'd like to see some sort of competition among Leagues other than the prestige rating. Not in like a like something that I'm like currently churning out code on since. But there are a lot of things I'd still like to do in Leagues. One of them being there is some League stuff probably on the more immediate horizon than that implies, but a more permanent sort of League leaderboard will probably probably also happen. That was very, very, very roundabout way. Part of the reason that I did the sidekick and companion revamp is because I wanted to add some League-specific companions that are sort of conceptually tied into one of the League leaderboard ideas that I had. You can sort of see how projects end up going down the rabbit hole. Because it started, I was looking at, like, I really want to do, you know, this sort of League thing, and we'll need, like, all this content to support that, okay. And, we can't really do that with the way that temporary sidekicks are stored now, so let's look at that. That obviously blew out into this huge project. It's definitely still something that that I'm looking at. I really want Leagues to be not like the thing to do in Twilight Heroes, but I really want them to be a important living part of the game. And I don't think, honestly, we're quite there yet. The League foes are really cool. I really like them, and I think that there's a lot of design space for us to keep adding new League enemies and maybe rotate some of the old ones out. We're actually getting close to that point. Or having special League foes that you have to unlock, these sorts of things that, because I think we've got a decent-sized pool for rotation now, is what I mean. It's not like every day you're getting, like, one of three dudes, right? We can actually sort of play around with the edges there a little bit. I think that's cool, and I think that there are a lot of things that Leagues do pretty well. But at the same time, there's a lot of a lot more room for growth, and I think more importantly than that, a lot more room to bring in other player types as, you know, pillars of the Leagues, which is a huge deal. I mean, obviously, like, you've got your high-level characters who are really, really clutch, I feel, in taking out the League villains every day, and that's awesome. And that gives them a chance to really shine in a way that is, like, you know, you get to actually, you know, help out your friends doing this cool thing. That is fucking rad. If I can be, you know, 12 for a moment. But we want to have, like, more classes, so to speak, right? Like, not in the, you know, elemental gadgeteer sense of classes, but in, like, you know, okay, so you're the person who does all of the, you know, beating League villain face, great, and you've got, you know, your buddy who is the, you know, the retcon fiend, and he is also as clutch to the League's success, and, you know, as we can sort of build and add more things like that, I think that the Leagues will become exponentially cooler. And there are certainly, like, I mean, you've got, you know, the people who are working to kill the League villains, and the people in leadership roles who don't necessarily have, like, an obvious game effect, but if you're in a League or have ever been in any sort of, you know, organized online gaming entity of any sort in any game ever, you know that those people are the, you know, beating heart and soul of any organization like that. So, you know, those people are obviously, you know, completely central, and I'd like to, you know, get more, and the more people that we can get really just involved in building and supporting their League, the cooler the Leagues are, the more people are involved in the Leagues, the more, you know, Leagues want to recruit specific people, it's like, oh yeah, you know, Kinex, you know, got the ridiculous level, you know, Cthulhu punching out guy, we should get him on board, you know, help take care of the League villains for us. Or, you know, Kinnack, who we'll assume for a moment is actually, you know, good at games, is, you know, totally badass retconner. We should snag him. He's a really great PvP-er. Let's snag him, you know. And the more, especially, like, not necessarily truly mutually exclusive, right, but it's really hard to be a high-level character and retcon all the time, like, these two things don't really go together, and, you know, it can be a little weird to, you know, maybe spend all that time PvPing when maybe leveling or retconning or however that ends up playing out, right, like, you get all of these sort of, different people, that you want to bring together, and that's awesome, but that means a lot of stuff has to happen, and there are some things we might be able to do to start down that road, but I really, in a sort of global sense, want to take our time with those, do things right, get a lot of people really just excited about leagues, not like, I mean, there's something to be said for being able to, you know, do your little bit to help the league's prestige, and that's cool, but I want people to feel like, you know, they're bringing in items or other in-game benefits to the league rather than just, you know, everyone helping the counter go up, and that requires a little more time and thought and effort than just, you know, some of the very tempting simpler solutions. But yeah, they're very much on the horizon. And but it's sort of like, okay, so we got, you know, oh, I want to do this leaderboard and go back and, like, you know, I'll have to revamp this entire subsystem and rewrite, you know, thousands of lines of code. Okay, now we're back to the approach. We can, you know, make some progress on that. And similarly, it's like, oh, you know, it'd be great if the PvPers could really, you know, get in there and help their leagues. It's like, well, really should probably redo PvP before I try to do, you know, make it sort of this load-bearing part of the league system. Okay. So, things, it's a process, but yeah, it's very much something that is not just on my mind when it's sort of like working on it, it's also driving a lot of other development and activities. So, it's not weird for even things that have absolutely nothing to do with leagues to sort of end up having stuff to do with leagues. To the next question, as my screen totally falls asleep on me because I'm rambling too much. The new League villain made me notice how scarce acid damage sources are in the game. Any plan to implement a few more, e.g. sidekick skill? Skill is very unlikely. Acid is on some levels is a terrible answer, but acid is very closely associated with the alchemist villains, and at some point in the future, like, we're, yeah, future, we're not talking like, there's gonna be the next couple of months, maybe here, future, when we have flying cars, that's an important part of the alchemist's class identity. So, skill's not likely. I wouldn't be opposed to putting in a new sidekick or companion on the theme of things that we're doing. That added some acid damage. When will be the next advertising initiative? The game needs new players to buy stars and sell them on the mall so I can buy them. I think since the last one that I publicly mentioned, there's actually been another wave. And there needs to be a bit of number crunching on my end. That's purely just waiting on me. Well, and probably nominally Liz, who is my spouse and sort of de facto advertising manager. Because sort of the first wave of advertisements, not talking about Earthworld there, but we actually did a wave of ads on primarily web comics, web fiction, that sort of thing. That went incredibly well. When looking at the numbers for advertising, you expect to, even specifically for Twilight Heroes, you expect sort of, you do your advertising, and over the course of, you know, maybe a year, best case scenario, it starts to pay for itself, right? Outside chance of maybe 6 months, but very unlikely. And it was sort of like, did some advertising, and it paid for itself in like maybe a month, maybe a couple of weeks. It was very fast, though, from new players' donations. So that was, if I may borrow myself from earlier, fucking rad. The second one was sort of, if that was like hysterically mind-blowingly good, the second wave of attempts were hysterically mind-blowingly bad. Not in the sense that, like, you know, we, you know, suddenly lost a bunch of money that we didn't have or anything like that. Like, it wasn't like, you know, put everything on, you know, 29 and, you know, roulette wheel came up with double zero or whatever. It was, as a side note for anyone who knows roulette, if I just butchered the rules of roulette, I don't really apologize, but I understand that I do not know the rules of roulette. But yeah, it was sort of like, first one got, you know what, not like a ridiculous mass of people, because we're not at the point where we can start realistically advertising with even, like, major web comics, right? Like, we're talking sort of smaller, I mean, sort of mom and pop isn't exactly the, you know, proper label there, but mom and pop web comics, you probably know what I mean. And so they, but yeah, we advertised, and they got a bunch of people for, you know, the scale of what we're talking about, and got a bunch of donations basically right away, which was awesome. But the second one, it was like, tiny trickle of people, and, I mean, the donations aren't really the part that I care about. I mean, there's sort of like the idea of this cycle that you advertise more to get more money, to advertise more to get more money, but the, yeah. Not sure. Oh, yeah. So, anyway. So, that was, the first one was, like, all of the people in the money, and the second one was none of the people, none of the money, which, in its own way, is great. I mean, I would rather, you know, everything is just, like, you know, unicorns and kittens, but if we have unicorns and kittens versus what the hell is this, hopefully, once, you know, we start beating them with the statistics wrench, we can figure out a little bit of why the first one worked so well and the second one worked so poorly. So once I have either an answer for that, or have gotten to the point where it's like, I honestly have no idea, we're going to need more data. Once we're at either of those points, we will either implement a new plan based on the data, or implement a new plan to collect more data, which is sort of where we've been as far as advertising goes. It's as completely elated as I am that we got a bunch of new users and some actual new donors. There's the secondary question of, how in the future can we really, approach these things? The secondary sort of issue with that is whenever we get a wave of new players, I get a a similarly sized wave of questions, which is totally fine. And a handful of them are, bug reports for things that aren't actually bugs that new players just don't understand. And how does this work? Why doesn't this work? Some of which are actually just really good ideas. It's nice to have new eyes on things. But order of magnitude the most is, how do I get, old donation items? Like, and by order of magnitude, I mean that in the actual mathematical sense, like, easily 10 times as much as the next highest question. So that's probably something, we're going to be looking at, moving forward. Not necessarily introducing new copies of old items, although, I'm not going to say that that isn't on the table. The first real step there, is getting the, trade of old items for silver stars out of the forum thread, and the trade system, and into somewhere where I can actually sort of see it and see if we have a healthy amount of trade in these various items, because it's from a numerical perspective, there are vanishingly small number of copies of a lot of these items. And by number of copies, I mean numbers that are on accounts that are actually even remotely still active. A lot of the oldest items are on accounts that naturally have not been logged into in like 5+ years. I would like to get that sort of out in the open. Well, not in the open. The problem isn't that it's obscure to players necessarily. The problem is that it's a little obscure to me. And it's possible that there's enough sort of liquidity, I guess would be the economic term, in the market for these various items that we don't really need to do anything. And I just need to have a place where I can, not unlike the thread, but, actually officially within game, that I can point to and be like, hey, yeah, you go over there, and that's where you get old items, and all is well. If we do need to introduce new copies of old items, then we can do it in a way that is not shitty to the people who have original copies of the old items, in that if we don't have an official, sort of automated place to do that, there's no way to be like, oh, Pat Jonas is, or whomever, is trying to sell, Hero's Cape, and then question is, if that's on forum threads, I would just have to go through it and manually look like, oh, is anyone actually, selling Hero's Capes, and are these actually, going to be fulfilled, this from a year ago, is this still actually listed, what's going on, has this already been sold, so, yeah, with that data actually, in front of me in a sort of, you know, ask a bell table, can say, you know, oh, yeah, this is for sale. We do not need to fuck with it, right? We're not going to screw somebody over who's just has a totally legitimate sale for it already. There's a lot of, moving forward, I would like to have a better answer for that question, that is handled more in-game, both so that I have a better answer, and so that we can really see how good or bad the situation is and decide how we need to move forward from there. But everyone on sort of the people who want old items side and the people who have old items side should know, I guess, that the first people who are being catered to are the people who have the old items, so that we can see what that situation looks like, enough to make an actual legit decision on not just if anything needs to be introduced, what specifically would need to be. And for reference, when I'm talking about old items here, I'm talking about, like, old items, like in the 07, 08 range, and then if we need to worry about it moving forward as, you know, time progresses. That's something that we're giving a lot of thought into right now, very precisely because of the response I get every time we do an advertising push. That should be interesting. The first part of it, I don't think anyone will actually be able to object to, because it's not actually doing anything very interesting, exactly. But the later parts of it are something that we're going to be handling with a lot of, respect and care to make sure that we don't step on any actual human beings who are trying to sell their old items. Theoretical human beings who may theoretically want to sell their old items, I don't really give any fucks about, right? Like, I guess that's really the point of my ramble here is I would rather know that we are not introducing these because we don't want to hurt actual people who are actually, you know, playing and enjoying the game and actually have these items listed, rather than having this restriction in place to protect people that don't exist. If people do exist, great. If people don't exist, I would rather not keep disappointing actual people in to make virtual, like, non-existent people feel better, if that makes any sense. Moving forward, we'll see some new marketplace open within the game, and we'll be monitoring that pretty closely to see what's going on in there, and if anything, any actual liquidity needs to be added for those old items. A question about the Disguise Foe item of the month. Is it possible to get Master Zix's avatar? If so, any hints? I do not believe that it is, no. I'll try to think of something else later. Too late! I was wondering about your rationale in you creating monthly items for the Walk of Stars. The current item, the Eon Drive, is a vehicle with a range of 3. While it has some nice drops and cuts time from a turn, it isn't useful as soon as you want to go beyond downtown. My main interest is retcons and a wearable item that has potential to be useful throughout a run, but the car's benefits end rather early unless I'm prepared to sacrifice the benefit of the useful sidekick for anything other than range extension. Is the issue prevention of power creep? In that case, actually, a lot of it is me not having time to code something that I really wanted to with the Eon Drive before the 1st, the 30th, I guess, the end of November. But there's a sort of... There's an understanding sort of in the main quest line that part of each set of goals is getting the range to get to the next set of goals. Getting out of Somerset, getting past downtown, these sorts of things. And there is a certain point where having an extremely high range makes it sort of... I mean, it negates that, which is fine to some degree. I mean, obviously, like, more powerful items let you get around certain obstacles. Like, that's just what more powerful items do, right? But it's sort of a natural... there's sort of, a limited pool of power to draw from there. If... I'm actually really tempted with the Eon Drive to go back in and spend a day or two getting the last thing that I was planning on doing for it in place. So if people are really, honestly, I'm not even sure if it would help that much in run. So it's possible you should just ignore me. But at least out of run, there were plans to have it, have its range be extendable. Basically, in a broader sense, a lot of the donation vehicles before have been range 3, maybe 4 sometimes, unless they start to require higher levels, passive pilot, things like that. That's sort of the reasoning behind it. And the way to extend its range further actually was intended to require a fair bit of effort, so it's not necessarily something that is just a pure, balance buff thing. If it had been, if it had just been something where I want to, give it 5 range, I would have just given it 5 range. There's sort of a cap on how useful any individual item should be and how they sort of play off against each other. But if you wanted me to spend a day or two making the Eon Drive even cooler, I would be pretty easily persuaded to do that, because I was really pissed at myself for not getting that last little bit in there, which isn't, like, important, like, from a balance perspective. It was just cool, and I really wanted to do it. Sanjiro, thank you for introducing the companion sidekick split. I might be able to use some of these companion items that have been cluttering up my inventory. You are quite welcome. It's definitely been an interesting change, but I think overall very good idea. Someone had to say it, so here goes. The auction house is gone. I've been checking at least once a day, and I can't remember the last time I saw something listed there. How about you, Kinect? Do you happen to know the last time something was listed for sale at the auction house? Was R, meaning the player's abandonment to the auction house, the most important factor in removing the place? Anyway, goodbye, original game feature. The auction house... I don't have an exact date on the last one listed because the records sort of fall off after a month, as you know, sort of because there used to actually be a lot of auction house records before them all came around, and they sort of but there were many times that I checked, and there were no records in that table. Which is to say, I would check, and there would not have been anything listed in the last 30 days. Anything, actually. Any auction, which I believe it was even expired in the last 30 days. So, if it was a multiple-day auction, it might have been listed even before that. It's mostly just a question of, I mean, obviously, like, it wouldn't have hurt anything to leave it there. But I'm a big believer in sort of hygiene at some level. If there's something there that's not being used, I would rather not have it there, like, drawing in potential users who may not understand that nobody's actually using it anymore. I wanted to buy some things. Let's go to the auction house. Oh, there's nothing here. Okay, I guess I won't buy anything. When really, they should just be going to the mall. It was sad, but it would have been both way sadder and completely unnecessary if it had actually been used for anything, a very long period of time. And it had been largely or entirely abandoned basically the entire time that I've been running the game. So, I mean, what, 3-4 years now. That's sort of where that was. I think we'll find new home for some of that. Christiana notes that level 10 skill aerodynamic vehicle can in fact extend the range of vehicles at the cost of a slight penalty to speed, turn speed, that is. If more him, I'm keen to know when you are likely going to post the podcast. Probably about 15 minutes from now. No promises. Sometimes Audacity can be a little finicky about things, but it shouldn't be too much longer. Thanks to everyone who participated in the enemy message contest. We got some really cool entries there. I definitely chuckled more than once reading through them and then making the difficult choices of which ones we should be using and which ones we shouldn't be. And thanks for everyone for your questions. If you're donating, you're donating. If you're beating heart of one of the leagues, like I was talking about earlier, thank you for that. If not, thank you for playing and forming the great community that we have here. I think that is about it. So I will leave you to go back to your heroing. If there are any further questions, if I have inadvertently kicked some sort of hornet's nest or whatever, feel free to continue the conversation in the podcast thread. Thanks. Have a great night.